Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Come on, open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to begin a new teaching series. Like I mentioned, I'm just going to introduce it today and kind of just whet your appetite. But it's something that's it's real in my heart. Glory to God. Now, before we read the scripture, let's get ready to make our faith declaration. You know, I introduced this about a couple of weeks ago. And so we're going to make this declaration and get this in our spirits. So if you will repeat this after me, God is who he says he is.
God is who he says he is.
God can do what he says he can do.
God can do what he says he can do.
I am who God says I am.
I am who God says I am.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
God's word is alive and active in me.
God's word is alive and active in me.
I have prepared myself to hear the teaching of the word of God.
What I hear,
I choose to put into action. I choose to renew my mind
to the teaching of the word of God,
and I'll never be the same again.
I activate my faith
to believe what I am taught.
I choose to respond to what I hear.
Therefore, I call myself
an atmosphere changer.
I call myself an anointed vessel.
I call myself a reservoir of solutions.
So I say in Jesus' name, how God anointed me
with the Holy Ghost
and with power, and I go about doing good
and healing all
who are oppressed of the devil.
For God is with me.
I declare God loves me.
God is with me.
God is for me.
God is on my side.
Therefore, what can man do unto me?
So I fully expect
to have God's acceptance,
God's approval,
God's attention,
and God's assistance
every day of my life
in Jesus' name,
because I have been made
the righteousness of God
in Christ Jesus. Come on, put your hands together, give God some praise. All right. So like I said, we're going to, every time I'm before you and we're speaking the word, teaching, preaching, we're going to make that declaration. And I know that when something is new, it is feel awkward. It hasn't registered yet. But as we keep saying it, it's going to establish something. Watch this. It's going to establish something in us, and it's going to establish something upon us. And that's what we want. All right. Here's a subject that we're going to introduce to you today in this new teaching series. It's simply this: walking in the realm of supernatural provision. Walking in the realm of supernatural provision. The reason why this came on my heart and the Lord was dealing with me about it is because of the struggle that a lot of people are going through. Walking in the realm of supernatural provision. I'm going to share some things and introduce some things to you that I believe that will revolutionize your life. But here's a thing that you always got to understand when you talk about supernatural provision. It is not the will of God for you and I to struggle, to stress, or to strain. When we struggle, stress, or strain, it's because we're not doing it His way. We're doing things our way. You know, it's like how good parents, they want to make everything easier for their child or children. Yeah. Would y'all agree?
Yeah.
Good parents. But when the child doesn't listen or the child doesn't respond right, what the parents are purposing and trying to do, it doesn't work because the child is making everything complicated. So it's not the will of God for you and I to struggle, to stress, or to strain. If we are struggling, stressing, and straining, we're making things complicated and difficult, and God is not going to override our wills. We have to learn to cooperate with Him. So today I have come to stimulate and strengthen the focus of your faith. I'm here to strengthen, watch this, the fervency of your faith and to strengthen the pull of your faith. What do you mean, Pastor Mark, the pull of my faith? What your faith has been pulling in. Why aren't results? I mean, you believe in Jesus. You believe in the Word of God. Why aren't more results happening for you in your life where you are? And it's not because God is holding back. It's not because God is judging you. No, He loves you. He's with you. He's for you. And since He's with me, He loves me, and He's for me, He wants things happening to me that'll bless me. He wants things happening with me that'll keep me encouraged. Are y'all with me? So I've come to stimulate and strengthen the focus of your faith, the fervency of your faith, and the pull of your faith. I know some of you have been standing in faith for some specific demonstrations and manifestations for a long time. Here's two things I want you to notice before I read the scripture. No matter how long you have been standing in faith, I've come to remind you that our God is faithful. Everyone say that. My God is faithful.
My God is faithful.
Say it again. My God is faithful.
My God is faithful.
Now say this. The problem is never with God.
The problem is never with God.
Because God is faithful to me. And then the second thing that I want to put before you is, no matter what things look like, the power of God is bringing a supernatural change.
Hallelujah.
So, 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to read a dilemma here. And again, this is just introduction. This is just introduction. What are we talking about? Walking in the realm of supernatural provision. Walking in the realm. Now just think about when you hear that subject, I want you to think about it. Walking in the realm of supernatural provision. That means that something is always provided for me. Something is always available to me. Something is always accessible just for me. Supernatural provision. All right, 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 24. I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along with whatever translation you got. And it says this, "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria." Now, here was the enemy coming against the people of God. Verse 25. "And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Now let's stop for a moment. He's talking about inflation. He's talking about prices being escalated and elevated. Watch this. Over some stuff that you yourself probably wouldn't even want at your house. But they were experiencing a famine. Right now, there's a lot of things going on in the world that is affecting a lot of people. Gas prices, food prices elevated and escalated. And so a lot of people They're complaining about what's going on. And watch this. They're blaming the government for their struggle. They're blaming other people for their struggle. But I want you to understand something. Jesus never lied to us. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, come on, kill, and destroy. And he's still doing it. Yes, he uses people to do it, but it's the thief, the adversary, who's behind the inflation, who's behind the recession, who's behind high prices. You got high prices, low salaries, so people are struggling. God never wanted you and I to look for our provision from the natural realm or from the world. He wanted us to look for our provision from him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So here they are, they're in this situation. And it's tough now. Look at verse 26. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, whence shall I help thee? How can I help you? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press? Verse 28. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? What's your problem? And she answered, this woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today. Wow. And we will eat my son tomorrow. I mean, that's real serious. But wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Let's stop and let's inject this. It's still serious today. Because there are a lot of families who are taking money for their kids. Sex trafficking is at an all-time high. I mean, almost every month, the federal investigators, the federal police are busting up sexual trafficking rings. And people you never thought would be involved are involved. And every time they are arresting and busting up one group, it's about 30 to 40 people. Not just 5 or 10, 30 to 40 people all involved in this ring. Jesus. It's a lot of things going on today because people are trying to look for provision and seek provision and take advantage of other people so they can help themselves. Somebody say the devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
So now here's this situation. This woman comes to another mother, one mother to another mother. Let's eat your child today. Then we'll eat mine tomorrow. That don't even sound right. But watch this. Watch this. Anytime you give in to pressure, you'll start thinking about doing things you never would think about before. And you'll give in to doing things that you'll never give in to before. So watch this. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. Verse 29. And so we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. You would think they would have some type of remorse, right? You would think that, you know, some guilt, something would come in.
Right.
You know, but no, the next day this woman is saying, okay. She's licking her lips and saying, okay, your turn, give up your son. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. And she hath hid her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he rent or tore his clothes, and he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. That means he covered himself with a sackcloth. That's an image of intercession. Verse 31. Then he said, God do so and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. Like many people are doing today, he blamed the prophet. He blamed the church. Many people today on social media, they're blaming the church. They're finding fault with the Bible. They're finding fault with preachers. I'm not saying every preacher is good. I'm just saying how the world would turn against, glory to God, any type of channel that'll lead you to God. So they'll tell you, you can save yourself. You can help yourself. You can find your own solutions. You don't have to go to the church. You don't have to pray to God. You don't have to go to God. How do we know God is real? How do we know God will help? How do we know that there is a God? So all of that is going on right now in our society, just like they were faced with in theirs. And then verse 32, but Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But before or ere the messenger came to him, Elisha said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head? Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? Verse 33. And while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? And then chapter 7. I read all of that to get you here. We're going to read these first few verses of chapter 7. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, everyone shout tomorrow.
Tomorrow
about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. So we'll stop right there. We'll stop right there. So he said, tomorrow. So what was he speaking? In the midst of all this chaos, in the midst of all of this recession, in the midst of all of this inflation, in the midst of all of this that's going on, God had the man of God to speak and declare that tomorrow there's going to be a supernatural turnaround because provision will be made available to the people. Look at what our subject is, walking in the realm of supernatural provision. Notice this, Elisha didn't panic about everything that was going on. He did not allow what other people chose to do to affect how he believed God. I want to encourage you today, don't allow what people put on social media. Don't allow what people say. Don't allow what you see on YouTube to affect how you believe God. You have to choose to walk in the realm of supernatural provision. Say amen.
Amen.
Here's where we are. God wants us to renew our minds to think supernaturally. We must sharpen and strengthen our focus to focus supernaturally. Say supernatural.
Supernatural.
We've got to sharpen and strengthen our focus to focus supernaturally, rather than always having a tendency to give ourselves and give our focus to natural things, natural occurrences, and natural reasoning. As long as people can eat and sleep and go to work for a paycheck, to them, they think life is okay. Life is all right. Life is pretty good. But God, dear hearts, is requiring more from us. Too much of our attention has been going toward natural things. So we get comfortable. If we got a car, we get comfortable. If we got a decent house, we get comfortable. If we got a little money in our pocket or a little money in the bank, we get comfortable. And we're not as desperate for God as we should be. So let me give you these 4 things and my introduction will be pretty much, I'm just about done with my introduction today. Let me give you these 4 things. Here we go. Excuse me. We as the body of Christ, Christians, we have to get free of being, number 1, provision minded. We as Christians, as the body of Christ, we have to get free of being provision-minded, always thinking about provision, always thinking about how am I going to make it, always thinking about what am I going to eat, what am I going to wear, what am I going to do, how can I do this? God wants us to be free of being what? Provision-minded. Number two, we have to get free of being how am I going to make it minded. We have to get free of being how am I going to make it minded. That's one of the things that causes disagreement and division in a household. When folks feel like they're not going to make it. So they look at one, well, what you going to do? The other one says, what you looking at me for? What you going to do? And so you have division, you have disagreement. So we as the body of Christ, as Christians, we have to get free of being, number one, come on, provision minded. Number two, how am I going to make it minded? Number three, we have to get free of, I'm just looking to survive minded. I'm just looking to survive minded. God doesn't want you to survive. God wants you to overcome. I'm just looking to survive minded. When I use minded at the end of all of these, that's a mindset. That's a mentality. That's the way you think. That's the way you respond. And then the last one, number four, we as the body of Christ have to get free of being, how will I get out of this minded? How will I get out of this? All four of them kind of hit upon the other, overlap on one another, but it's all about a me-centered mindset and lifestyle. How will I get out of this minded? Glory to God. So in closing today, since our subject is walking in the realm of supernatural provision, let me give you the definition for provision so you can know where we're going with this and so you can understand where God wants you to be and what he wants you to receive. Of course, the word provision, say provision.
Provision.
Provision is just the action of providing for or supplying resources. That's what provision is. So we talk about walking in the realm of supernatural provision. We're talking about walking in a realm where things and resources are provided for us so we can move past these four things, being provision minded. We can move past how I'm going to make it minded. Instead of me focusing how am I going to make it, I'm going to know how to make it. We can move past I'm just looking to survive. No, when you move past that, survival mode won't be in your thinking because you'll understand how to overcome. And then, how will I get out of this minded? It won't be how will I get out of this. I'll know how to step out of this and step into where God wants me to be, receive what God wants me to receive, do what God wants me to do, and become who God wants me to be. Say amen. So provision, simply in its definition, simplest definition is the action of providing or supplying resources. Now, put this down. Here's the thing I want you to get. God's provision. Say God's provision.
God's provision.
Say it with some enthusiasm.
God's provision.
Say it like you believe it.
God's provision.
God's provision is, watch this, his supply, his sufficiency, his support, and his sustainability. God's provision is his supply. It's his sufficiency. It's his support. And it's his sustainability. One more time. God's provision is his supply. And what we're going to be looking at is, how do I get his supply at my house? God's provision is his supply. It's his sufficiency. How can I get what God is sufficient in to invade any insufficiency at my house? God's provision is his supply, his sufficiency. It's his support. So now I got to be able to change my mind, how I look at life, and understand if I have God's support, I have to expect to be upheld all the time. And then the last one, God's provision is his sustainability. Say that, sustainability. Come on, say it again, sustainability. Watch this, watch this. Now, before you even try to write this, just listen to it. God's sustainability is the ability to be cared for at a level the natural realm and natural circumstances can't support you in. Let that sink. God's sustainability is the ability, is his ability to be cared for at a level the natural realm and natural circumstances can't support you in. So like right now, many of us have jobs. But if truth be told, the job really isn't taking care of everything that you require.
That's right.
It's not taking care of everything. Watch this. You better not miss a paycheck. Watch this. You better not miss a day on the job. Why? Because here's in your mind. I can't afford to. Watch it. I'm not sustained. So now, whether I feel like going or not, I'm going because I want to eat today. I want to eat tomorrow. It's not enough. So watch this. It makes people angry. They show up at a job, working their tail off on a job that isn't sustaining them. And don't let a new need come up, a new desire come up, because they start looking at, that means I gotta work some more. I'm already doing the best I can. And don't let nothing break down. Right now, a lot of people cannot afford one major emergency to take place, because it'll cause the bottom to fall out. So God's sustainability, everyone say that, God's sustainability is the ability to be cared for at a level the natural realm and natural circumstances can't support you in. Watch it. It's his ability to uphold you and support you. God's sustainability is God's ability to fulfill, to flourish, and to furnish you that's beyond your natural ability. Wow. Let me give you that one more time. God's sustainability is God's ability to fulfill, flourish, and furnish you beyond your natural ability. Glory to God. God's sustainability is God's ability to fulfill, flourish, and furnish you that's beyond your natural ability. Okay, let's end with this last scripture, Psalms 92. Psalms 92. And you'll see this realm of supernatural provision right here in Psalms 92. Okay, Psalms 92. Quickly. Verse number 12. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 12 says, the righteous shall flourish. You just wrote that God's sustainability is God's ability to fulfill, flourish, and furnish you beyond your natural ability. So Psalms 92:12, the righteous shall flourish. Everyone say, I will flourish.
I will flourish.
And that's how you got to approach it. I will flourish from where I am right now. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. So watch this. Flourishing takes place. Growth takes place. They're never stuck. They're never in limbo. Verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Shall read flourish. Say, I expect to flourish.
I expect to flourish.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14. They shall still bring forth. Everyone make this declaration. It's time for me to bring forth more.
It's time for me to bring forth more.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. So even old age won't stop them from tapping into this provision. Time won't hinder them from tapping into what's available, this supernatural provision. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be, the King James Bible says, fat. That means abundance. They shall have more than enough and flourishing. Why am I doing this? To show forth, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And so we're going to get off into this in this new series, Welcome to the Realm of Supernatural Provision. I'm going to ask you to read Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15 every day this week. Just read it every day this week. And then ask the Lord, open my minds to it. Psalms 92, verses 12 through 15, the verses we just read. And say, Lord, help me, open my mind to what you wanted to do in my life. I want to walk in the realm of supernatural provision like never before. In the name of Jesus. Now, I want to end with this testimony. I shared with you about the miracle birth with the baby. But I'm so in awe, that's the only way I can say it, because something miraculous happened in one of my members' partners in Canada, and with Brother Augustine. His life went from struggle to surplus. No. He went from trying to make it to sweatlessly making it. You ready for this? In 2 months' time. And the favor of God has hit this young man's life to where it is rocking his world. It really is. And he keeps saying, Pastor Mark, everything that you share, Pastor Mark, it's working in my life. And he admits, he said, I had a hard time with it, but you wouldn't let me quit. He said, I had a hard time believing it, but you wouldn't stop. And you kept on. And he understood he had to do his part. Because I wasn't always there physically in Canada. So he had to do his part and connect on to the faith call. He had to do his part and listen. He had to do his part. Even when some of the things I was teaching, he wasn't seeing those take place in his life. Instead of getting angry and shutting down, he had to allow God to use that word to change his mind about how he saw a situation. And now this brother went, I mean, he's originally from Nigeria. And all of a sudden he got his citizenship, Canadian citizenship.
Amen.
All of a sudden he got his certification. But then not only that, another company reached out for this brother. And he says, Pastor Brown, I have never had anybody searching for me. I'm always searching for a way out. I'm always searching for things better. They searching for me, saying they want me and what they'll do for me. And so now he goes from just being certified in Canada. Watch this. To be certified in the entire North American continent. So his whole time of being in Canada, he's making more money now than he's ever made on a job where he's seeing what I'm sharing with you, God's sustainability show up. I'm saying, now, wait a minute. God does this miracle with the miracle birth. God does this miracle in this young man's life. And I mean, this brother now is just off the charts blessed, off the charts in joy, off the charts. That tells me God wants to do something in all of our lives.
Yes.
Because he's no respecter of person.
Amen.
And he's saying, let me show up in your life. Let me show up at your house. Watch this. But don't have your mind made up. Be willing to renew your mind. Say, Lord, I'm here to renew my mind.
I'm here to renew my mind.
Do with me
what you want done.
Because I'm willing to follow you.
As I learn to walk.
And
in the realm
of supernatural provision, like never before. Come on, give God some praise. Give him some praise.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.